Well, good morning. We are so glad that you're with us this morning. We are glad that this is our annual Friend Day, and we know that we have some folks that are here today because of that. If you are here because someone has invited you, just wave at me. That's all I want you to do. Just wave at me. Great. We are so glad that you are with us today. We want to stand for just a moment, and Melanie is going to play, and let's greet each other for just a moment. Great. We have some announcements in the bulletin. Do we have a report from the bazaar from yesterday?
Yes.
Is there here?
I got it right here.
Okay.
First of all, we'd like to thank everybody that worked. It was a lot of work that went on yesterday, and if you missed out, we'll do it again next year. total so far, we've made off the bazaar was $4,018.
Good. Great. Any other announcements? There are lots in the bulletin that we won't take the time to.
One thing I did forget to do, I want to thank the bazaar and so very much for the barbecue. Very, very good. Did you get some of that barbecue?
Great. There are more announcements in the bulletin. Be sure and read those and be involved where you feel like you need to be involved. Any prayer requests this morning before we start or praise reports? Let's remember that. Anything else? All right. Let's take a moment of prepare ourselves for this worship service, just a moment of silence. Amen. Our call to worship is responsive. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Let us worship God.
Morning, turning our hymnals to hymn 97. All hail the power, Jesus' name.
Lord,
Would you bow with me for prayer? Lord of all, Lord of all, our Lord, Jesus, we come to proclaim you as Lord. Jesus is Lord. Thank you for that privilege and opportunity. Thank you, Lord, that someone introduced us to you. And thank you that you gave us the faith to trust, to believe, and to serve. Thank you for calling us together in worship. And thank you for the privilege of reaching out to friends. And thank you for friends who will accept our invitation. Thank you for each aspect of this hour as it is planned. And Lord, we pray that you will bless this every part of it, that it might be all to your glory, to your honor. In the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And you may be seated. Thank you.
We want to express our faith in God by doing the Apostles' Creed. I know we do this every Sunday, but this is just a wonderful affirmation of what we believe and why we believe it and the hope that we have that He's coming to get us one of these days, and it's a wonderful thing to do. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Let's turn in our hymnals now to hymn 404. Got an email about the Lord's Prayer. What a child hears when he hears us saying some of our prayers and liturgies. It was one who says trespasses instead of debts, and the little boy was saying those who trespass against us and pass as trash to us. So we have to remember sometimes that our words are different and they mean different things, and we need to be sure our children understand. Hymn 404, The Solid Rock. Let's sing 1, 3, and 4. 1, 3, and 4.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' love and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground.
We're at a really sweet time in the service when we can come to the Lord and confess our sins to Him. We're not perfect. It's good to know that we're forgiven, but even though we're forgiven, we're not perfect. And there are times that we need to come back to the Lord and say, I did something I shouldn't, or I didn't do something that I should. And it's good to know that Psalm 38 tells us, I confess my iniquity, I am touched by my sin. Let's together, in unison, confess our sins to the Lord. Almighty and merciful God, we have erred and strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against your holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done. Restore those who are penitent, according to your promises declared to the world in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O merciful God, for his sake, that we may live a holy, just, and humble life to the glory of your name. And we have such assurance of forgiveness in Hebrews 8, for I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. It's time in our service to worship the Lord with our tithes and our offerings. Our offertory sentence from James 1:25, but those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. Ushers, if you will come forward.
Our scripture lesson today is from Luke 15:11 through 24. To illustrate the point further, Jesus told them the story. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, "I want my share of your estate now, instead of waiting until you die." So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. A few days later, this younger son packed all his belongings and took a trip into a distant land. And there he wasted all of his money on wild living. About the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land, and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him to feed his pigs. The boy became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding to the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, "At home, even the hired men have food to spare, and here I am dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, 'Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you. I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired man.'" So he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long distance away, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son." But his father said to the servants, "Quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and the sandals for his feet, and kill the calf we have been fattening in the pen. We must celebrate with a feast, for this son of mine was dead and now is returned to life. He was lost but now is found." So the party began. The word of God for the people of God.
Turn your hymnal again, if you will, please, to hymn 513. Oh, how he loves you and me.
Oh, how he loves you and me.
To that Kurt Kaiser song for my title. As you can see, it wasn't a misprint or a mistake. I want us to think about this morning, oh, how much God loves us. Think about that. Just think about it. How much God loves us. How often do we just pause to revel in His love? Just think about it. I'm convinced that every child that runs away from home needs to know that he can go back home. Maybe I'm convinced of this because it is so personal in my life. Not me, but a sibling chose to run away, and the door was always open for that one to come home. And she did. I believe the same goes for the runaway husband or the runaway wife. They need to know that they can go back home. Of course, those who run away don't deserve it. They don't deserve an open door and an extended welcome mat. But I believe that every one of us, if it happened to be us who ran away, I believe that we would want to know that we could go back home and we would be welcomed. We would like to be able to go back home again. And that's how it is with God's love. That's how it is with God and His people. God welcomes rebellious runaways back home. The door is open. Always open. The welcome mat is out in God's kingdom. The yellow ribbons cover the trees. And I take a lot of blessings in that. I take a lot of joy in that. For myself, if something might happen, if I went crazy one day, and, you know, kind of have to be crazy to run away from God, wouldn't you? But if I did that, I'd have to be. And I'm glad to know that the welcome mat is there. A warm welcome to the runaway. That's what this parable is about. A warm welcome awaiting the returning runaway. You may have heard about a man who committed a crime. And he was convicted of the crime. A crime for which he was very much embarrassed and very much ashamed. But for some reason, he committed the crime. And he went to prison. And he served his time. And it was coming time for him to be released. And what would he do? Could he go home? Would he want to go home? Would they want him back home? So he began to wonder, if I went home, would I be welcome? And he needed to know before he got out. You know, the worst thing for a released prisoner to do is to not have any place to go or no one to take care of them. He wrote his parents saying that he would soon be coming home. But he didn't want to embarrass them. And he wanted to know if they would welcome him back or if they would just as soon he go and live in another part of the country or do something else. And he said to them, if you want me back, if you'll just tie a yellow ribbon to that oak tree that is at the entrance to the street where you live, at the head of the street. And when I'll come home on the bus, and when we get there, if the rubber yellow ribbon is on the tree, I will know that I am welcome. I'll know that you want me back. If there's no yellow ribbon there, I'll just stay on the bus and continue on my journey. He got out of prison. He got a bus ticket. He was going home. And as he neared home, he began to be so excited and so apprehensive. You know, we think the worst sometime. And he began to think, there will be no ribbon on the tree. They don't want me back. As the bus neared the street where he would get off and go to his parents' home, where his parents live, he was emotional. He could not even look. So he said to the bus driver, "Driver, would you look when you approach a certain street? Would you look and see if there is a yellow ribbon tied around that big oak tree at the end of the street?" The man need not have worried. As they rounded the bend, the driver saw a wonderful sight. And he told his passenger, there's a yellow ribbon on every branch of that tree. The whole community had joined the parents in welcoming their son back home. That's the way it is with God's love. This parable about a rebellious boy and a loving father. This is a parable about fallen man and God. God who is love. God who forgives repentant sinners. This parable is about God who welcomes us back into His arms, into His kingdom. Look at the parable with me, if you will. Let's begin looking at this parable where the runaway has come to his senses. That shows that he was a little out of his mind or didn't have his senses when he left, or somewhere along the way he lost his senses anyway, if he had them when he left home. But he came to his senses and he decided to go home. That's in verse 17. When he finally came to his senses, he remembered how good it was in his father's presence. It wasn't as bad as he had thought it was a few years before. The old man wasn't such a terrible taskmaster. Being committed to the family wasn't as bad as he once thought. He remembered how good it was back home. And remembering how good it was, he determined that he would go back home. But he didn't want to go back as a son. He planned to go back as a servant, as a hired hand. Go back and see if his father would let him hire on as hired help. The country he was in, there was a famine there. Nobody would hire him except to feed pigs. And that was such a terrible job, especially for a Jewish boy. And I even hear now that pig farmers, if they raise pigs, and the smell will get in your skin, and everywhere you go, people will know that you're a pig farmer because you can't wash it out. I understand that perfume is really limited in getting it out. This boy, especially being a Jewish boy, didn't want to smell like pigs. Wouldn't eat a pig, in his right mind at least. But there he was feeding them. It was time to go back home, was it not? Now the important part to me this day of this parable is how the boy was received when he got back home. How he was received when he arrived home. Matthew Henry of a century ago or more offers a beautiful treatment of this scene. And Matthew Henry tells us that he was received with great love and great affection from the Father. Verse 20 says that while the boy was still a long way off, a long time before he got home, that the father saw him. While he was still a distance away, the father saw him coming. And that indicates, to me at least, that the father was looking. Someone even suggested that the father had a tower on his farm, and he would climb to the top of the tower often and look to see if the boy was coming home. So he must have been looking. He must have been hoping if he saw his son a long way off or a far distance away from the house. He was hoping. He was possibly praying that that boy would come home. Matthew Henry used the word, he was yearning for the sight of his son. And what did he do when he saw him? Filled with love and filled with compassion for this boy that he could see coming home, he ran to his son. Matthew Henry calls this the feet of mercy. The dad had the feet of mercy. Dad representing God. God is merciful toward us. He reaches out. When he sent Jesus to the world, that was God's mercy coming to us. He ran to his son. He embraced his son in the arms of mercy. And then, what the dad said, he spoke with lips of mercy. He embraced him and he kissed him. In your mind, by the father's action, can you see the yellow ribbons everywhere around that farm? Can you see them everywhere? Oh, how this father loves his son. Oh, how God loves you and me. And that's how it is in God's world. That's how it is with God's love. Verse 21 tells about the son. The son offered himself in penitent submission. He didn't come in arrogant. He didn't come in swashbuckling. Is that a good word? He didn't come in and say, "Oh, guess where I've been?" He didn't want to tell that he'd been in the big pen. He came in very humble. He had planned what he would say before he got there. He had planned it. Would you like to read it together? He said, "I will go and say, Father, I'm wrong. I have sinned against heaven, and I have sinned against you. I'm not worthy to be called your son. Take me on as a hired man." And he got there. He tried to say it. And he said part of it. But the Father knew his heart. God knows our heart. God knows the runaway heart, the one who has run away from Him. But the son said to his father, verse 21, "Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." But he didn't get to finish. Because here in verse 22, the father took over. He had heard enough. He knew that the boy hadn't been doing right. He didn't want to make the boy suffer. He didn't want to make him stand on his head for 3 hours before he could be baptized or hang by his thumbs for 6 weeks. He didn't want to punish him any further. He wanted to welcome the boy home. So the father said to the servants, "Quick! Bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him." The boy went from rags to great adornment. The finest robe in the house. You think he had to take a bath before he could put that robe on? I don't know. But the finest piece of clothing in your house. Put on a boy who had been living in the pig pen. That's the way it is with God's love. Because He'll clean us up. A ring for his finger. Ring was a sign of authority. The boy wouldn't be a servant. And then there were sandals for his feet. Slaves wore sandals. Slaves were barefooted. I'm sorry. Slaves were barefooted. People in authority wore sandals. Sandals for his feet. So he went from hunger to a great feast. Not just any old cow. Not just any calf. The fatted calf. The one that had been put away and been in the fattening pen. That boy was welcome, was he not? Oh, how the Father loved the Son. And oh, how God loves you and me. And I think it's so good that church people can just stop to remember how much God loves us. Because sometimes we get so involved in the mechanics of church. Sometimes we get so involved in bazaars and buildings and all that goes with being a church that we may forget about God's love to us. But oh, remember how He loves you and me. That's how it is with God's love. Like the Father welcoming the Son home. And then there was great celebrating and much rejoicing. The Father gave a party. And the Father exclaimed, "This son of mine was dead and now has returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found." He must have felt like John Denver when Denver wrote and sang a song, "Hey, it's good to be back home again. Sometimes this old farm feels like a long lost friend. Yes, and hey, it's good to be back home again." I believe this boy was pleased to be back home again. Maybe this parable speaks to you this morning. Maybe it speaks to your situation in some way. Or maybe this parable speaks to someone that you know. Maybe some friend that you have been alienated from and feel a need to be reconciled to. Maybe it speaks to a situation like that. If you are the runaway this morning, I'll pose the question very seriously. Isn't it time for you to return home to God? You probably heard this week about the volunteer firefighter. I used the word fireman last week, and my daughter said afterward, "Dad, you should say firefighter." So I'll say firefighter. But it was a man, a firefighter from Allgood, Tennessee. Did he go to a training or an emergency run and never went back home? And he ran off and ended up, what, on the plains, Montana, Idaho, or something like that? South Dakota. Thank you, yes. Got a long way from home. And what did he say? "I was afraid to come back." Got away and was afraid to come back. That's a present day illustration of people who get away from home and don't know that they can come home. But what did that father do? What did his dad do? Got the sheriff and they went to get him. Not to arrest him, to bring him home. Somebody was giving $10,000 or offered $10,000 as a reward to help him learn where he was. "Ashamed," he said. He was ashamed to go home. But the father went to get him. You may have run away from God. It's time to return to Him. Time to run back into His arms. Or maybe you've been running from God all of your life. Maybe you've never been in His arms. Maybe you've never trusted in His providential care offered through Jesus Christ, His salvation. Maybe you've been running all of your life. Isn't it time for you to come to Him? He certainly wants you because He gave His Son to die for us. It may be time for you to come and learn how good it will be to be home with God in His arms. Not always easy. Oh, there's some tough spots, but He's promised to get us through every bump in the road. He has yellow ribbons everywhere. Oh, how He loves you. And oh, how He loves me. And then maybe you're in the position of the Father. And someone dear to you has rebelled and run away. This parable tells people in the position of the Father exactly what to do. And to use that phrase again, what should we do? Tie a yellow ribbon on the old oak tree. Be an agent for God. Be an agent for God's kingdom. Help someone who has run away from God or someone who has never known God. Oh, how He loves you. Oh, how He loves me. So let's help those rebellious people that we know get to God. Just as I am, the song says. Just as I am, without one plea, but let that thy blood was shed for me. We'll turn to 342 and sing all the verses of that. And that's an invitation this morning. An invitation to come to God as you are. He will welcome you. And He'll make a new person out of you. Learn how good it is to be at home with God. Stand with me, please, if you will.
Lord, for that open door, for your kingdom. Thank you for Jesus who came to open the door, for the veil that was rent. Thank you. And give us holy.
Thank you. Thank you.